All right, tonight I'd like to invite you over to the third epistle of John, verse 5. The third epistle of John, verse 5.
Verse 5 reads this way. It says, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to the to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening. We do thank you again, Lord, for the privilege of assembling together. We do ask your blessings on the service tonight, on our hearts and minds, that you might just allow us to set aside the cares of this world for a little while, Lord, that we might focus on you. And Lord, that you might open up our hearts and minds to hear from you tonight, that we might worship you in spirit and truth. And Lord, once again, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up in our lives, and that you might bear your testimony and Lord, your will in our lives and through our lives, that you might be honored and glorified and our lives blessed. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message today is simply Witness of Thy Charity, or A Witness of the Love for God. A Witness of the Love for God. And that's, of course, what God wants in the life of every believer, that we might love Him with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul. And so as we consider this portion of Scripture, if you use Usher's chronology, this was written around A.D. 90, which means this is just about 6 years or so before John, the Apostle John, gets exiled to Patmos to write the book of Revelation. So keeping this thought in mind, most of the apostles are gone, if not all of them, pretty much gone at this particular point in time in history. And so he's kind of on his own here as far as the apostles are concerned. But we're going to look at three, possibly four thoughts this evening. It's a short little book, so we'll cover a book of the Bible tonight. And the first thought's going to be the Apostle John's introduction and greeting. The second thought will be the Apostle John's joy of a fellow believer. And then thirdly, a contradiction of a godly character. And then the last thought is a believer's good report. So these are words of encouragement that the Apostle John is giving to these group of believers here, specifically here, Gaius. And so let's back up here to verse 1. And notice what it says here, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. So here is the Apostle John. He's got clout. Listen, he was on the earth there. He accompanied the Lord during his earthly ministry. He could have thought of himself of something of great magnitude, but the more we grow in the grace of God, the smaller we become. We become, as they say, like a church steeple. You ever notice the church steeple? The higher we get exalted, the smaller we become. We don't become bigger, we become smaller in our own esteem. And so here we find the Apostle John calling himself an elder. First of all, he was an elder in age, but then he also had the position of an elder, a pastor, and one who preached and proclaimed the word of God. And so he says, listen, I want you to know I'm a fellow believer in the Lord. I'm an elder for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find here that he has a spirit of humility. Amen. He's not one that's looking to puff himself up. So John has this sincere testimony. He also has a testimony. He's going to accommodate or give a commendation to Gaius, his character for the Lord Jesus Christ. So notice he says, Gaius, by the way, he says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, right? So he says, this Gaius is a well-beloved saint of the Lord Jesus Christ, a believer of God. Notice what he says here, whom I love in the truth. He says, we have this kind of a love relationship, kind of like David and Jonathan, and they had this relationship in the Lord that drew them closer together. And you know, that's what God wants every believer to have. As we grow in the grace of God, does God want us to love one another to a greater extent, to a greater degree? Does he not want us to lay down our lives for one another, that he might be highly exalted? And so, by the way, just as the Lord laid down his life for us, he wants us to lay down our lives for the fellow believers. And of course, you know, the Lord, before he went to the cross, he girded himself and he washed his disciples' feet, and he said, what what you see me doing to you, you ought to do one for another. You ought to serve one another. This is the right, this is the Spirit of God. This is the mode that God has chosen. And in doing this, we draw nearer to the Lord, and the Lord is more honored and glorified. This is something that the world doesn't understand. The world says this is a dog-eat-dog world, and the reason for that is because everybody's looking to climb a ladder somewhere, and they don't mind using people for the next step, amen, to step on them to try to get ahead. But that's not the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord is one of humility, and by the way, he did that by example, didn't he, when he was here on earth? He gave us a life of humility. He was a very humble individual. He was a meek individual, and yet he stood for the truth, and he wants us to follow his example. So notice what he says here again in verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. So he's speaking to Gaius here, and he's saying, I want you to not just, listen, you have a good testimony in the Word of God, in the truth of the love of God, but he says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So this is called soul prosperity, right? And that really has to do with our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The soul is the real you, amen? The soul, your soul, is the real person that looks out of these windows that we call eyes, right? And that's the part that has eternal life, and that's the part that God and His Holy Spirit, the triune God abides in. He abides in us through the Holy Spirit. And so we have a relationship with Him that He wants to prosper. And by the way, God wants us to have good health as well. But He wants us to trust Him even when it appears that the winds are blowing and the waves are going back and forth. And you might think the Lord is sleeping, but He's not. He's on the throne, and He's wanting us to trust Him. So as we consider this, we find John giving a heartfelt wish and no doubt a prayer for Gaius to be in good health and above all things that he may prosper in his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so thirdly here, as we consider this, we find Gaius and his faithful testimony. Verse 3 says, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. He liked that, didn't he? John is saying, listen, I want you to know something, Gaius. When the brethren came and they began to tell me of what was in you, he said, boy, that just caused me to rejoice. You know, listen. I had the privilege this last ABA meeting here to run into my first pastor, Brother Darby Fennison, back in 1987, 88, somewhere around in there. I joined Lone Oak Missionary Baptist Church, and I surrendered under his ministry. And I told him, Brother Darby, you've been a tremendous blessing in my life. And, you know, he looked at me, he says, you've been a blessing in my life. And I stopped and thought about that, and I thought, you know, to think about people that have surrendered under your ministry, and they're still serving the Lord. Amen. And they've not turned, they've not taken their eyes off the Lord. They've not taken their hand off the plow. And I thought, you know, it is reciprocal. So that's the kind of relationship that God wants us to have one with another. You know, you just never know what kind of encouragement you'll bring to another believer by your faithfulness to your God. It's good for us. It's healthy for us to draw near to the Lord, but it affects and influences others for the cause of Christ, believers as well. Well, you know, listen, we live in a day and age when Christianity is not so popular anymore. In fact, you know, it used to be like the thing that most people did or everybody really did. In fact, in Kentucky, all the businesses, when we were back there, even in the early 2000s, they said their business sign said, closed on Sundays, please attend church. A lot of businesses had that on their store hours, on their store window. And so that's a good thing to do. But in this day and age, it's becoming fewer and far in between. But praise the Lord for those who are willing to remain faithful to the Lord, not faithful to my religion, not faithful to what I want to do, but faithfulness to the Lord. And so he begins to explain this here. He says, verse 3 again, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou, listen to this, walkest in the truth. In other words, your walk of life displays the glory of the Lord. You don't pick and choose what you're going to obey, what you're not going to obey. Your faithfulness is, if the Lord says it, that's how I'm going to live, right? And by the way, we just sang the song that the grace of God is greater than our sin, is it not?
Yes.
Let's try that again. The grace of God is greater than our sin. So that means that God can enable us to rise above by the grace of God to overcome sin. He wants us to be victors in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's not settle for this meeting. Let's not settle for our best. Let's settle for God's best, amen, which gives us the victory. And so if the Lord says, this is the way I want you to walk, then he will provide the means to walk in that fashion. So let's look unto the Lord, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And let's get our eyes off of ourselves and what we think. And let's hold on to thus saith the Lord, more so as we see the Lord's approaching every day. More and more may we be found faithful. And so God wants us to keep our eyes on him and not listen, if we start leaning to our understanding and not acknowledging God in all his ways, we're gonna become confounded. We're gonna be dismayed. We're gonna be misled, in fact, by our own hearts. Listen, the Bible says that the heart of man, even in believers, is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Do you know that the human heart will justify doing wrong things? They will justify. They'll say, after all, I can't do it, or I had a right to do that. Listen, God did not set us up to be judges, but followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in this regard, listen, the Apostle John had that kind of a heart. Gaius obviously had that kind of a heart, or he would not have the testimony that he had. So again, he says here in verse 3, he says, John is saying, for I rejoice how? Greatly. Isn't that good? Listen, we bring a great rejoicing in the lives of others when we're faithful to the Lord. Listen, we don't bring great rejoicing in the lives of others when we're doing things our way, do we? Listen, it has to be the Lord's way, and then Christ is highly magnified, and we find the humility of God being exalted, and God blesses and brings blessings into the life of believers and to his local New Testament church. So he says, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. Listen to this, verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Remember, he's up in years now, and these are people that no doubt he influenced for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he sees them, and he nurtured them, and he discipled them, and he taught them the ways of the Lord. And he says, oh, listen, it blesses my heart to see my children in the faith following, adhering to the word of the Lord and not being misled or misrepresenting the truth of God's word. So that's the first thought there. We find the Apostle John's introduction and greeting. Then we move over to the Apostle John's joy of a fellow believer. Look at verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Isn't that good? So the Apostle John here is saying to Gaius, listen, whatever you do, be faithful to the Lord, right? Whether it be to believers, brethren in the Lord Jesus Christ, or strangers, unbelievers that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, may we be faithful to walk uprightly. May we be those that are a breath of fresh air that people like to get around. You know, sometimes some people they make you feel like a weight, right? I mean, all they do is, oh my goodness, you know this, and oh my goodness, and that, and oh my goodness. You know, sometimes you don't want to ask people, how's it go? Oh my goodness, you don't understand. Oh my goodness, and this. Oh my goodness, and that. And you're like, wow, I don't feel so good anymore. And so what's, listen, when we're complaining, are we really trusting in the Lord? Does God not work out all things for our good and his glory? Well, my goodness, if God truly works out everything for our good, praise the Lord, amen? Praise the Lord, we've got something to shout about. We've got something to get excited about. But listen, if there's no shout, if there's no excitement, if there's no joy, where's the Lord? Where is your Lord? In fact, maybe we haven't been looking for him. Maybe we haven't had his company. Maybe we haven't gotten caught up in his spirit where he can bring the joy. And if not, listen, the Lord says, come. The Lord says, come. If we've come off at a distance from the Lord, I want you to know the Lord is still, he looks for his own, doesn't he? He leaves the 99 to go after the one that got lost in the way or got lost in the world and got caught up and forgot about the grace and mercy and the love of God. Listen, we have nothing to give the world if God's not first filling our cup. Amen. And if all that's coming out is me, mine, then where's the Lord? Well, my goodness, he's gotten lost somewhere. He's not lost, but we've lost our way from him, and we're not really in his communion. We're not really in the fellowship that God wants us to walk in. So he says, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne, listen to this, witness of thy charity or of thy love. So here we have a witness of the love of God, don't we? And this is a witness. And John is saying to Gaius, he's saying, man, you've got a great witness. This is, and by the way, John was encouraged by that. But what if he couldn't say that about Gaius? You know, Gaius, all I hear is you complain about everything. I mean, nothing is ever right. You know, where's the Lord in your... But he could have a testimony like that, but praise God he didn't, amen? Because, listen, we are children of the King, and our God is the Lord of King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and what's going to happen when we leave this life? We're going to see him face to face. Wow, listen, we've got the best things to look forward to. And so, by the way, not just in heaven, but here on earth, we can enjoy. God wants us to have a fellowship with him. And listen, if we have no fellowship with the Lord, once again, what do we have to give to the world? In fact, if we have no fellowship with the Lord, I dare say we won't tell anybody about Jesus. You know, it's a good thing to give a tract and a witness about salvation to people that don't know the Lord. You know, I just kind of tell you something here. You know, we were doing some cleaning up and cleaning out. You ever do that? And man, we filled up a bunch of trash bags of things, you know, that we were going to use one day that you're never going to use. And man, we cleared out a bunch of stuff. And anyway, my wife and I got to thinking, we went out, we gave a little something to the trash man because I felt bad. We had boxes upon boxes, trash bags upon trash bags, and some of them were pretty heavy. So we went out and gave him a little gift and put a track in there and said, hey, listen, there was two fellas there, and I even offered to help him. I felt so bad, but anyway, I said, listen, I gave you, there's a little gift in there, and I'd like to help you. He said, oh, listen, their faces lit up, and I said, and here's an invitation to come and see us at church. And more important than that is God's gift of eternal life. And so, you know what? They smiled. They were happy, I'm sure, because he got a gift, and that's all fine and well. But, you know, listen, that's the love of God spilling over into the lives of the lost world. And, you know, they saw that we cared about them, right? Just a little note, a track, a gospel track, and a little expression of appreciation. And you know, listen, do the garbage men need to know the Lord?
Yes.
Absolutely. But if we never tell them, who will? Who'll tell them? And so you know, neighbors and people, my goodness, listen, I am convinced that when people are right with the Lord, all their neighbors know and they have been invited by them to come to the house of God, wouldn't you say? And by the way, more than once to encourage them to come to the house of God and even passersby and listen to brethren as well as to strangers, those that don't know, may they see the love of God. But listen, if the love of God is not vibrant in our lives, we have nothing to tell. We have nothing to say. And the only reason why that would be is because we've not spent time in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants us to have that. So he says this. Again, verse 5, he says, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. After a godly sort. And so these are good things. Let's be spiritually minded. You know, Brother Tom, I had a conversation with somebody, and they were talking about what we talked about in Sunday school class, and they said, well, what do you do if, you know, and we got on this subject about giving things out to the homeless and people on the corners, you know, is it really a wrong thing to do? What if you feel led to? I said, well, listen, if you feel led to, who's anybody to say that that's not what you should do? So if you feel led to give something to somebody, do that, but I said, grab some tracks. And I said, put the money in the track and say, listen, I'm going to give you something to help you with some food. I hope that's what you need it for. But even more important than physical food is spiritual food that you might have eternal life. And the individual said, man, that's a good idea. That's a good idea, and it's important. So we need to be spiritually minded, eternally minded, thinking about how can we point people. If the love of God is in us, I mean, do we just love ourselves or do we love what Jesus loves? For God so loved the what? Oh, my goodness, he loved the world. So we ought to be thinking about and looking at people as God sees them. And so he says, I want you to know you've got a good witness and you do well. Verse 7, because that for his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentile for the cause of Christ. They didn't want to be accountable. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. God wants us all to be a fellow helper of the truth. And if we're not walking in the truth, are we a fellow helper of the truth? No, we're not. So it's important that we are in the truth and upholding the truth. We can call ourselves anything and everything we want to, but if we are not walking in the truth of God, the word of God will witness against us in the day we stand before the Lord. We have no excuse. We have been given the full counsel and the complete word of God that we might know how to walk. And by the way, the walk is in the love of Christ, is it not? That we might point the world. Now, as we consider this, we find a contradiction of a godly character. Notice verse 9, he says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. This is the Apostle John. He says, you know what Diotrephes was concerned about? His preeminence. Not the Lord's, his preeminence. I mean, he started off right, and you would look at this individual, and he didn't have anything nice to say, did he? And he didn't even receive. He rejected the Apostle John. You know, that's going to happen. If we live godly, the Bible says, we're going to suffer persecution. I mean, that's just the way it is. Things are going to be said and done unjustly to all those who desire to walk upright. But should that keep us from doing the right thing? Should that stop us from walking according to the way that God has directed? So he says this, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. See, no happiness. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. He's not a good man, is he? He discourages, he embitters, and he casts out those that God wants inside. And so we don't want to be a negative force for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what happens when, listen, was the Lord Jesus Christ the center of his life? No, it was not, was it? He was not. For him to, who was Diotrephes focused on? Diotrephes, his preeminence. I mean, after all, I am whatever, you know, if he was a pastor, if he was, you know, he obviously had influence in the church, whatever he was more concerned with his preeminence instead of God's preeminence. And that's a bad place to be. So the Lord here warns us against that, that we would not stand in that way. So notice what he says here, verse 11, beloved, he says, follow not that which is evil. So he's calling Diotrephes evil. He's saying he's not walking upright, but that which is good. He says, do the contrast. Don't get caught up. Follow that which is good. Notice why. He that doeth good is what? Yes. Is of God, right? He that, look with me, if you will, in verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is what? God. Is of God. But he that doeth evil, notice what he says, hath not seen God. So if we do things that are contrary to the word of God, he's saying we've not seen him. You know, it's important for the child of God to see the Lord, I'd say every day, wouldn't you? It's a good thing for us to walk with the Lord every day and to see the Lord. Now, does he mean that we have physically seen the Lord? No. No, no, no. But we have seen the Spirit of the Lord. We have yielded to the love of God and to the will of God. And we, Lord, I need to die to myself. You know, our biggest obstacle in our lives is ourself. My biggest challenge is not anybody else but me. That's my biggest challenge. Lord, I must decrease and you must increase. And I must be your servant, Lord, because you are worthy. God is worthy. Last thought here, and then this is the believer's good report. He says, Demetrius, we heard of Diotrephes. Don't confuse Diotrephes with Demetrius. Demetrius hath good report of all men. That's a good testimony, isn't it? And of the truth itself. Did you hear this? Demetrius hath good report of all men. And the end of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but not with ink and pen write unto thee. But notice, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we'll speak face to face. Peace be unto thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Amen. So this is the testimony. This is the relationship that God wants us to have one with another. And listen, if that is not my heart before the Lord, I need to go before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to have this kind of fellowship with you and with your people. I want the people of God to be able to say, you know, they really love the Lord. They really want to magnify and uplift the Lord, and they want to honor and glorify him. And most importantly, listen, in doing that, we encourage other believers, as the Apostle John was, but then we're also able to shine the light of God to a lost and dying world that needs to see salvation. Amen. So tonight, God says, have a witness of a love for God. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for your mercy, your grace, your goodness to each and every one of us. Lord, may we be completely submitted to you. And Lord, may you be the authority of our life. May we be completely yielded and trusting you. In spite of even when things don't go the way we think they should go, you are still in control. And Lord, may we still exhibit your humility. May we be able to turn the other cheek as you did and stand for the truth and the right, Lord, in the Spirit of God. And we'll give you the praise for that. Bless as we break off for prayer, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.